Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and I'm joined today by Pastor Adrian Mills, who is the pastor of Family Ministries here at our church. Pastor Adrian, how are you doing today?
Good, Grayson. Thanks for having me.
And Pastor Adrian, one of the reasons I had you join me today is to talk a little bit about our Easter weekend we have coming up in a couple weeks, that being Good Friday service. Something we have going on Saturday, specifically for the kids and the family, and also Sunday morning and that theme and how that came about. And so just start off talking about Good Friday and that service.
Sure. Well, we always desire to take some time on Good Friday to carve out sacred time to really reflect and pray. But we also desire for that to be something that the whole family can engage in. So, of course, on that evening, we'll have a service with some music, some time for reflection and prayer and communion. But one thing that we've tried to integrate over the years is some sort of element of interactive stations, similar to Stations of the Cross that people have used throughout history, really. And so this year, our goal is to provide a couple simple places where before the service, people can come and kids, all generations can come and interact a little bit more with the cross and what it means for them and kind of put themselves within the story of God. And in that way, making Good Friday something that we all participate in.
Pastor Adrian, if you don't mind, just talk a little bit about each of the stations and also, anything else that night, if there's going to be a short message or anything like that?
Yeah, well, the evening will begin at 6:30, and as people arrive, they'll have the opportunity to kind of walk through different stations. One will simply be just a portrayal of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross for us. Two of the other stations will involve some response where you get to kind of write your name or respond physically to the cross. And so it's a way that we don't just see what Jesus did on the cross, but we respond to that in some way. And those will kind of be a come and go. They won't be real structured as far as you need to stay here for so long as people pass through. And then around 7:15 or so, there will be a time for worship and reflection and prayer and communion. And before that time, as people arrive, there'll also be a station where people can receive prayer. I think Good Friday is a time where we can lay our burdens at his feet when we're reminded of what Jesus did for us. It's a little bit accountability, convicting for us as we remember the price that Jesus paid for our sins. Sometimes it's a little bit of accountability to make sure that we've surrendered and laid down everything at his feet. And so there'll be an opportunity for that. None of that is an expectation. Some may come and just want to spend the evening sitting quietly, reflecting. There's no pressure to do any of that. It's simply an option, an opportunity for those that want to go a little bit deeper or want to engage a little bit differently that night.
And you mentioned that there would be communion and worship. And so talk a little bit about that. Will that take place at the end, or will there be a short message or anything like that?
Right. So the service portion should begin around 7:15, and typically on Good Friday, yeah, we try to make our service pretty short, not intentionally, but we just make the main thing about worship, reflecting on the cross, a brief teaching, and a response at the end where people can come and kind of close the service with communion. And one neat thing about Good Friday is it's something that we do in English and Spanish, and so all three services will be able to participate there in their own language. There'll be interpretation, and it'll be offered. The teaching will be done bilingual from Pastor Carey and Pastor Sam. So it's always been a neat connection for our whole church and community to come together on Good Friday.
And Pastor Adrian, of course, this is open to the community, not just people at our church. Some churches might not have Good Friday services, or people might have family that they want to invite. So this is open to anybody.
Absolutely, yeah. We would welcome and invite anybody that would want to come join us that evening.
Well, Pastor Adrian, talk a little bit about Saturday and the event that will be taking place here at the church on Saturday, which is, like I said, for kids, but also for the whole family.
Yeah, so Saturday is really the opportunity for the kids to have their celebration time. We do an Easter egg hunt on that Saturday, and Pastor Julie, who's our new children's pastor, is really excited about planning an afternoon event for our kids. Over 5,000 eggs, which is pretty overwhelming in and of itself. It's also pretty overwhelming how quickly all those eggs disappear. But in addition to just kind of coming and having fun and taking pictures and having snacks and things like that, Pastor Julie will present the gospel for a few minutes that morning to our kids and their families. So this is a really good opportunity if you know someone that has kids to invite them to be a part. Surely the kids will enjoy getting Easter eggs, but it's also an opportunity for a family to be reminded of the message of Easter. We don't just make that event a fun event, but we do take some time before the eggs are hunted to remember what Jesus did for us.
And I think this particular event is particularly a good outreach event to the community, maybe even to people who wouldn't normally come to church on a Sunday morning, or maybe even to a Good Friday service. I know I have a few neighbors that have kids. I typically invite them and say, hey, here's some of the stuff we have going on our church, particularly point them to the Easter egg hunt that's on Saturday. I think maybe the kids would be interested in that.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool and a great opportunity. And typically during that event, we do have quite a few that come that aren't necessarily connected to our church, and we love that. And course, encourage him to come back the next day for our Easter services, but even if we don't, we really see that as part of our celebration of Easter, is having them come on Saturday.
And Pastor Adrian, could you just mention the time of that event and maybe how long it'll last, probably?
Yeah, it will begin around 2 o'clock, and we haven't advertised a specific end time. I imagine it will wrap up by 3:30 or so, which in that time would be a brief service, and of course that's interactive, fun, games, music. There'll be some snacks, things like that. The kids will have an option of having, and then, of course, we'll end with the Easter egg hunt. It's amazing. 5,000 eggs take about 3.5 minutes to find. So we always laugh every year. The Easter egg concludes very quickly with all the kids excited to get their eggs. And but yeah, it's a great celebration, a great opportunity for our kids to come together on that day.
And also, I know that the kids will be split up in different age groups. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, they do it in 4 different age groups. So if you're a parent of a preschooler and you're worried about, we have a section just for kind of the preschool, and then we have our elementary age split up into 3 groups so that it's a little more specific. We try to make sure that each of the kids gets a few eggs so that it's not, you know, the big kids getting all the eggs and a few of the little kids get nothing. And so we try to split it up in such a way that every kid that comes is able to participate and walks away with, this year, some good candy. I've been seeing the donations come in, so I'm pretty excited. I hope my kids get some candy that they'll share with me.
Well, Pastor Adrian, the Easter egg hunt sounds like it'll be a fun event, not just for the kids, but also for the whole family. Also, on Sunday morning, our Easter celebration, the theme this year is mercy. So talk a little bit about how you and Dad and some of the others came up with that theme or how that originated.
Yeah, well, what's interesting this year, Grayson, is we decided that we really wanted our Easter theme to be something that was the same theme across our English and Spanish services. So sometimes that happens, but sometimes, of course, the theme is Easter, but in celebrating Easter in our English services and then in our Spanish service at 11:45, there might be a different theme to that day. So this year, we just really wanted to promote Easter in both languages across all the services with the same exact theme. And so really, this theme was birthed out of partly Pastor Sam's heart. He's our missional pastor and pastors our Hispanic congregation. And we just began talking about this idea. And really, for him, it wasn't necessarily about one word. We use the word mercy. But for him, it was just about this. He was very visual talking about it. And so we talked about, for him is bright colors, which often with Easter we think of maybe somber. Certainly with Good Friday we think of somber or, you know, red, the blood of Jesus. But for him, just thinking this year in terms of all of the incredible things that have been made available to us because of Easter, his kindness and grace and forgiveness and salvation and freedom. And so ultimately we chose the word mercy as kind of a specific word to talk about, but really to kind of describe this beautiful, kind of amazing thing that Easter is and what it means in the life of a believer. And so that's really where we came to that specific word.
I think it's a neat idea and a great idea for Easter. When I think of the word mercy and related to Easter, I think about how he showed his mercy on us by sending his son to this earth so that he might die for our sins, so that we might have a chance for eternal life. Because we all know that we don't deserve eternal life in heaven. None of us here on earth except for Jesus deserve to have eternal life. And so God showed his mercy by sending his son, and specifically by having him die on the cross for our sins.
Yeah, and I think as I was thinking about that word in Scripture, the first thing that comes to mind is David in Psalm 51, where he's committed this terrible act of sin with Bathsheba, and he's coming before the Lord asking for forgiveness. And Psalm 51 begins by him saying, "Have mercy on me, O God." And I was also, I think, a little bit about in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it talks about kind of who we are. And this is what it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And then it says this in verse 10 of 1 Peter 2. "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And there in the Word of God, we see that this idea of mercy is central to our identity, to who we are as God's people. That literally it would say, you know, once you were not a people, once you had not received mercy, but now you are his people, you have received mercy. It's part of our identity of who we are as believers, that we are the ones that have received this great gift of mercy.
Yeah, and it's not only that he gave us mercy, it's not only that he forgave us of our sins, but he made us part of his family. So that's the whole part about being a chosen people and a royal priesthood.
Right, and I often think I had a professor in college that really helped me, because often in the church we'll talk about grace, we'll talk about mercy. I don't know if we often think about what the difference is, but they're not totally the same. So something that I've used often when describing the difference is that grace is getting something that I don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. But mercy is not getting something I do deserve. Let me say that again. I know it's confusing, but it really does help me. That grace is getting something I don't deserve, and mercy is not getting something I do deserve. And let me unpack that for a minute, because really Easter, of course, is about both. In his grace, he gives us a new name and a new identity and freedom. And these are things that we didn't deserve. But in his mercy, he took our place. He didn't give us what we deserve. In, you know, the book of Romans, it says the wages of sin is death. That because of our sin, we deserve death. And so death is what we deserve. So his mercy means that we didn't get what we deserved. And of course, that idea of mercy and grace go hand in hand. And so I think sometimes it's not as much fun to talk about mercy, Grayson, because we like to talk about grace. That's all the good stuff. That, oh, I don't deserve this, but I get it anyway. When we think about mercy, we kind of have to admit that we deserved punishment. We deserved death. We deserved bad stuff. And instead, you know, Jesus took that in our place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've never really thought about the differences. I know there is a difference. You always think of those two words hand in hand. But, I mean, yes, we were forgiven. That's the grace part. But like you said, we were spared from death. We were spared from the consequences of our actions. And that was you know, what Jesus did by dying on the cross, he took and he got the opposite of mercy and grace. He got something that he didn't deserve, something that he, you know, didn't do anything to deserve death. So he took that so that we didn't have to take that death, that eternal death, so that we could have a chance at eternal life. So I think that's really neat. I've never heard it explained that way, but I think it's great.
Yeah, and I think so on Easter, I think for us, it's celebrating that. It's, of course, you can't talk about mercy without talking about grace and hope and joy and all that we have. But it's really celebrating that. You know, once we were dead in our sin, but now we've been made alive in Christ. Once we were dead in our sin, but now we've been made alive through Christ and what he did for us. And so on that morning, I'll talk a little bit more about kind of what else will be happening that morning on campus. We'll have three services in English that day. We'll have one at 7:30, which is earlier than usual. We typically have one at 9 and 10:30, but we'll have one at 7:30, 9 and 10:30 on Easter Sunday. And then at 11:45 in Spanish. And so all four of those services won't necessarily be identical, but they will have the identical theme of this idea of mercy. And so we would love to invite you. Our 7:30 service will not have nursery or childcare, but of course all the others, there'll be childcare for all ages and an opportunity for you to come. Also, when you pull on the parking lot that morning, we haven't promoted this real heavily, but there'll be Krispy Kreme donuts available. So I don't think that's why you should come on Easter Sunday, but it might be a nice surprise when you show up and your stomach's grumbling and you get a free donut on the way in. I know, Grayson, you love donuts, so that might be enough to get you here.
Well, I'll be here regardless, but I do love donuts, and I think the hot sign is almost like saying he has risen. Like, so maybe if you don't have kids and maybe if you have plans that day, maybe the 7:30 service is, you know, maybe you can get your first chance at the donuts coming early and then have the rest of the day. So I know that service tends to be one of the lighter services since it's so early, but I'm sure it would also help us out with the crowdedness of the other services if people came early. So
yeah, I will say that I know our church family listens to Front Porch Talks often, and so I will make an appeal to our folks that on Easter we want to do everything we can to make others welcome. And so I always challenge our folks on Easter to park as far away as you can. And I don't think anyone's taken me too literally on that by parking down Port Road at the hospital or anything, but we just want to do everything we can to make sure that our guests feel welcome. And I pray that you're inviting people. We have invite cards here on campus that we're handing out. We've got the website, actually abeaconofhope.org/Easter. We've created a page with just the specifics that we've talked about today. It's a great way to post that on social media. Just invite people. I want to celebrate Easter, but you know, it would be a waste, I think, Grayson, to celebrate Easter and it just be us. It just be those of us that already know Jesus. I want people there that need hope. I want people there that need a church family to love them. And I'm praying and believing that we as a church will be bold in inviting people to come to let them know the hope that we have. I'm reminded of I won't even use his name because it's not what it's about, but a famous atheist that once said, you know, if you believe that you had eternal hope and you had the promise of eternal life, how much would you have to hate someone to not tell them about that? And I'm not trying to guilt anybody, but I think sometimes it's a perspective for us as believers that if we really believe in what we read in the scripture, and if we believe Easter is what it is, then we need to be encouraged to invite somebody. And I pray just a conviction, not a guilt in your heart, but just convicted that the Lord will put somebody in your path. And maybe they won't come, but in inviting them, it will open up an opportunity for the future. And that's what makes Easter exciting to me, is new people that will be here that day that need hope and will find it because of Jesus.
Yeah, and God's mercy is for everybody. As long as people are breathing, they're not too far away from being able to accept God's mercy. It doesn't matter what they've done. And as far as inviting people, it's not up to you as to whether or not they accept your invitation or how they take it. It's just up to you to invite them and then let God do the rest and work on them through that invitation. And certainly Easter is a great time for a rebirth. You know, Christ died, and it said that when we're forgiven of our sins, we die too and then are raised back to life. So it's just a great time to witness to those who don't know him and share that hope and that mercy that he wants to give to all of us, extend to all of us.
Right. And I think if we believe that, then it makes us view Easter very differently. Not about what am I going to wear that day and where are we going to eat lunch and whatever. I enjoy that. I think time with family is good. But let's really pray about making Easter morning a priority. And I challenge you. I know it would be more meaningful to each of us if there's somebody that we invited to be there that isn't normally there. I know that would make Easter even more meaningful. And so I just pray that you'll pray about who, not just am I coming, what service am I coming to, but who am I going to bring with me on that day?
And Pastor Adrian, I meant to say, I love that quote that you shared from that atheist about how much do you have to hate somebody not to share with them? And that's somebody who wasn't a believer, but he respected people who did believe, who shared, knowing that he was an atheist because he was pretty outspoken about being an atheist, were still bold enough to share their faith with him. So you might never know. You might come in contact with somebody who you think, oh, well, that person's never going to accept Christ, or that person, I know they're not going to. Well, don't give up on them. God hasn't given up on them, and we shouldn't give up on those around us who we think can't be saved, because anybody can be saved. And Pastor Adrian, thanks for joining me today. And I want to mention, too, if there's anybody listening that might not know where our church is located, since we've been talking about the events that will take place at our church on Easter weekend. And it's 1871 Boyers Road, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 1871 Boyers Road. That's the corner of Port and Boyers. Pastor Adrian, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Grayson. I'm excited for Easter.
I'm excited, too. Just in closing, would you mind just saying a prayer for the Easter season, not just for our church, but any other churches in the Valley, and just for lost souls that might come to church that we might have a chance to witness to on Easter Sunday and Easter weekend?
Yeah, let's pray together. Father, thank you for Easter. I pray that it's not the only time for believers to be reminded of what you've done for us, but I pray that it would be an exciting day in the life of a believer. But help us, Lord, encourage us as the church, your church universal, to not make Easter about us and us here in the story and us. And that's important. We want to be reminded, but I want to be passionate about bringing others with us on this Easter Sunday. I want to be passionate about having others come into contact with your mercy and your grace and your freedom and your hope that's available to us because of what Jesus did on the cross and because he rose again. Thank you that you are alive today. You're not a God that's buried in the ground, but you're alive and that your Holy Spirit bears witness to that in our lives. And so I pray for those listening today, that they would feel your presence, they would sense your presence in a real way, and your power would be evident in this season. Give us favor in these days ahead to make your name known here in the Valley and beyond. We love you and we thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen. We pray that today's program of Front Porch Talks has been a half hour of hope for your life. Here's our friend Brian Arner singing "He's Alive."
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, and I rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. It was just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they must have moved him in the night, but none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body is in there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how aware they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Inside the house again, guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange
of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.